Yeah, yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders Podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geek Enders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time on gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geek Enders, featuring a ghost.
No, just us.
Oh, okay. Yes, just us. Just
Phew.
The living.
Phew.
Just the
yeah,
living.
No ghosts.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Actually featuring the lovely Mark Hulmes.
Oh, that's me. Hello.
It's
me. That's my name.
Yay.
Hello. Lovely to be here.
You were telling me before we got going that this is actually your first time meeting Jesse properly.
It is. We have a lot of mutuals who overlap and people that know each other, but I've never met Mr. Cox before, but it's very exciting.
They've been keeping us apart.
That's it. I think that they have. The power of two bearded men in glasses was too strong, and they had to keep us apart. Otherwise, we'd be too powerful. So,
if ever a collection,
I've never seen two men with beards and glasses in the same room.
Oh God, no! Can you imagine?
If ever a collection of bearded glasses wearing men got together, it might be some sort of convention or something terrible. Who knows?
Oh my God, can you imagine? God, oh, it'd be the worst.
So many games.
But it's one of those weird things where I feel like we've got so many like overlapping interests and like spheres and friends and things like that. And I've got a few people I have that with in sort of, you know, my circle that I know of, like Brendan Lee Mulligan's another one where we have like so many friends and we've even been at the same events together and just never cross paths and never actually directly communicate to one another. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited to be here.
I feel like kind of like how we were saying that all of us have been doing something adjacent to like gaming, nerd culture, whatever, for, you know, like 13 or more years. At a certain point, you're like, everybody else who's also been doing this for a long time, I've probably met them, you know, but not necessarily. So I've met enough of them that the little gaps are are surrounded by people I know.
Yeah, that's it. It's just like the little mortar feelings of like, oh yeah, there's like a little hole here that I've not filled in. But yeah, everyone around, all the other bricks are connected. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Mark, I'm so excited that you're typically such a busy patootie. And to my understanding, you've been trying to give yourself some more room to breathe and just chill. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to. It's one of those I'm sure you guys know this, of like you desperately try to like take a break and not do as much, and then somebody be like, hey, do you want to do this, and you're like, yeah, I do want to do that, I want to be involved, and then you forget that no, I'm supposed to be resting right now.
The like creepy FOMO part of your brain is like, but if I say
huge
no
part of it,
I'll probably never get the opportunity to do this again. So
exactly. And also not like wanting to let people down, and like you're genuinely excited to do cool stuff. So yeah, so I'm trying to kind of get back on top of things. Like life's been a bit of a big shift around this year and stuff like that. So I'm trying to get back into doing a little bit of streaming, doing a little bit of bits and bobs. All the D&D stuff is still going on as regular. That's like still my main jam that I do. But trying to like slowly eke back into a bunch of cool things. And it's with that weird thing of always feeling like you're busy, but then some days you just like disassociate and you're just like, I've wasted the whole day doing nothing, but I'm so busy and I should have been doing this. So there's a lot of that going on, basically. But that's me at the minute. But I'm super excited we can make this happen. So
yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I feel like last time that you and I chatted, it was about LARPing stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Because there was a little of interest. There was a nugget of interest.
There's still interest, dude. There's still interest.
Good. But yes, I mean, I guess for Jesse's benefit, yeah, I'm a regular LARPer here in the UK, and I was showing lots of exciting photos to Dukes, and there was a lot of sort of like, oh, it looks so good, I want to go.
Let me ask you some questions about like the LARP. So in my mind, when I think of LARPing, I think of like, you know, the way it's either portrayed in media or things I've seen clips of that aren't like, you know, the goofier versions of it. I'm talking about like just people gathering somewhere and putting it on kind of spur of the moment, but there's probably planning. You know what I mean? Like it looks,
yeah.
You're rolling up in your car and it's like, all right, we're going to do a battlefield thing. But I also hear tales of like, we set up camps where people cooked meals in the style of the, like that. So what is the average? Because in my mind, I want it to be the thing that Dodger and I went to many, many years ago for Witcher 3. That was like in a fort and you had to make your own stuff. And there was a bread lady. If you wanted bread, you had to make your bread. The only way to spend, like you could get coins for working, but all they could buy you was either merchandise or booze. And since I had all the merch, I was like, guess I'm getting drunk tonight.
Guess I'm getting some mead in me.
And it was a great experience. The best part about it was Dodger. The whole
thing
was...
You love to tell this story.
Oh, because it shows your devious nature. Everyone here is like, in order, like, you got to work if you want to eat. Right? That was the vibe.
Yep.
Except Dodger snuck around like a halfling rogue and stole coins off of tables.
Yeah.
The minute I detected this, I was like, I want in.
You can buy my silence. You give me a cut of what you make and I'll be silent.
That's what happened.
That's smart.
That's what I imagine it should be. But what is it generally like?
Yeah. Well, I think it depends, right? So I go to a big LARP here in the UK called Empire, which is like 3,500 people now. It started off about, when I started going to it, was about 1,500, but now it's about 3,500. And it's much more like that. It's basically like a big field in the UK. Everybody, it's divided into different nations or groups that have their own like little visual aesthetic differences and cultural differences and lore and stuff like that. But everyone makes these camps and you've got like in-character tents and people will set up a little tavern or they'll set up a place where they can sell bits and pieces. In the group that I'm in, we have like a big... we call it the Glory Square, and it's where we hold tournaments and challenges and things like that. It's very sort of Arthurian themed. And people have all of that stuff. But then you also have like the out of character area where you can go and buy burgers and chips and fizzy drinks and stuff like that. You can kind of go to that little bit area. But there is like, there's real like in character money and people will trade it. People buy booze. One of the worst times I've ever been drunk was I bought homemade moonshine cider that was like 30% proof in a wine bottle.
No,
just drank two of those because I forgot I drank one and just was very bad. And so you're like drinking the moonshine. People are buying like you. And then there's the game element to it, right? It is still like it's a role playing game. Like Magic went to one this year, which was in Helsinki, and it was 100 people, and they took a Finnish high school and they turned it into a Battlestar Galactica style spaceship. And 100 of us, you were given a character, like you kind of basically they cast you as a role, and it was 48 hours in this school, meals served three times a day in like the mess of the ship. And it was like so intense. It was like 48 hours in character the whole time. And there were people that had like, you had like specifically written relationships and connections to the other players. There were like scenes that were triggered at certain points by the game team. So it was a little bit more like a theater interactive experience, but then combined with a role-playing game and an environment. But like the Empire one, which I think Dodger is the one that like you kind of saw me go to and the photos and that from, that's that kind of medieval camp, like people going around and like you've got thieves going around stealing coins off table or like robbing people's coin pouches when they're not looking. You've got people doing assassinations of political characters who are trying to maneuver in the political realm and stuff like that. And then you've got these big battles, which are like, I would say probably about 1,000 people aside where you do one battle one day as your character and then the battle the next day as one of the bad guys. So you play both sides, basically. And they're pretty amazing. Like, they're pretty crazy.
Man.
So when it comes to the kingdoms, the nations, and everything that's there, is it all kind of like... that's the nation of Glorbistan, and it's like Steve, Mike, Phil, like a bunch of guys over there. Oh, and that is the kingdom of Cox, and it's just Jesse and his stupid friends. Or is it that is the Darkhold, and the Lich King rules from that? Is like, do people roll up dressed in green? Are there, or is it just people?
No, so it's like, yeah, you get like different mixtures, right? So the one that we do in this empire, the nations have got like these strong, they're kind of influenced by real world cultures, but then they're fantasy-fied as well. But the idea is because they're quite massive, within that nation, you might get the house of, so like my house Mortar, that's Mark and his mates, right? And we have a little group within a nation. But the nations, I think, so like ours is called Dawn. It's very like Camelot, Arthurian, over the top. But then you have the Imperial Orcs, and they've got, these guys are wearing like orc masks, and they have like completely different culture. They have like a little camp out in the woods. We're all working together against the bad guys, but we're also kind of competing for like resources and politics and stuff like that. But yeah, people rock up and you get like a costume guide for each one. Like, okay, this nation has these elements that you should try and keep in mind. So everyone looks quite uniform.
That's so cool.
Everyone's individualized at the same time, right? Like, you know, everyone's got their own unique look. So like my group that we did, the theme of it was I wanted to do Camelot, but the Addams Family in Camelot. So we're very gothic. We're all necromancers. You know, we're all into like winter magic, which is all about like necromancy and the dead. We're all very like vampire coded in the way that we look, or Addams Family coded. And that's kind of like our gimmick that we make our thing that like we're known for and we're known about.
Do the different, like if I'm rolling up as an orc, am I sitting there with like a spare rib and like drinking,
my
culture, question that. I mean, if you're saying, yeah, all right, I show up next time it happens.
Yeah.
I'm in green and I brought like 20 giant Amazonian women with me all in green. And we're like the man stealer orcs. And I send them in the middle of the night to capture men and steal them from different camps.
I feel like then the armies of man to make sure that people know that they're not actually in danger.
Yes,
correct.
There's like elements of that. But then knowing what LARPers are like, if they had some like, you know, 6 foot tall muscle mommies dressed as orcs, they would be like, I'm not resisting. Take me.
I would rule that place.
You would be king. Very quickly, you'd be like a senator, the emperor. They'd be like, vote this guy in. You know, you could build a campaign on like emperor. It. Yeah, yeah.
But then who are the bad guys then? If the bad guys are a separate thing?
Yes, they're a separate thing. So the story team kind of control. So there's like a team that run the whole LARP, and they create, you know, they come up with what the bad guys are up to, what all the plans are. And then they have like a team who plays those guys. But it's a very, what I would call like a political PvP game, where the idea is that as players, we're all kind of competing with each other for like resources and titles and prestige and stuff like that. And then when we do the big battles, like I said, one of them you do as your character, and then the next one you go out as one of the bad guys to fill out the numbers, basically. And you're basically, when you're playing the monsters, your job is to make it fun for the players who are killing you. You're like, like, it's one of my favorite things to do is to play one of the bad guys, whether it's like an undead or an orc or a barbarian or something like that. Because you really go ham on it. Like somebody hits you and you're like, and you're like throwing yourself all around. Like they feel like a badass.
Because you want them to feel cool and powerful.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I did it once with my character where, you know, I play a mage and, you know, running in, and I did this big mass effect, like mass spell, which like affects loads of people. And all of the players playing orcs were just terrified. And they're like screaming their heads off, like a mass fear kind of spell. And they're all just fleeing for their lives. lives, like screaming in terror. And that it makes you feel awesome when they do stuff like that. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. And you sometimes, like, because it's so big, like they'll build like monsters and stuff for you to fight. So there'll be these guys on like stilts in like football shuttle pads and these big latex suits playing like giants. Or we've had these war rhinos, which are like portable things that chase you around the field, like kind of these like palanquin like things that are dressed up to be like a war beast and stuff like that. It's really fun. It's quite intense, but yeah.
What is the feasibility of me joining as Grimke the barkeep, and mm-hmm. I'm sitting there all day just pouring drinks for days and days? Like, how long does this last usually?
It's 3 days. So it starts like Friday. You do all day Saturday, and then you finish about Sunday afternoon.
Can I show up as Grimke the barkeep? Uh-huh. Go spend 2 days barkeeping, being mm-hmm. like, oh, you kids, your damn wars. I swore I'd never fight after the great purging, right? Yep. And then the last day, it's like, we need you, Grimke. We're low on men. Like, don't worry, boys. I'll join you. But then I die in combat, and you all feel terrible because you got Grimke killed.
Dude, absolutely, you can do that. Hell yeah. Like,
and the bar closes, though.
Parts. Yeah.
No more bar.
The bar closes, no more bar. Yeah, you could totally come in, set up like a little bar, in, you know, get everybody to love you. Oh, what a sweet old man. Oh, we love him. We went and had lovely drinks. He told loads of stories. And then you go into battle with us. And honestly, like, I do this, you know, I go in there quite intense, and I've got these mates. And one time we had a battle go really badly. And two of my friends who've been playing for a long time, their characters had just got married. They were in love. They were husband and wife in real life. So they were like, you know, they did this whole romance play. They right. go out there, they die together, and we managed to bring their bodies back from the battle. We laid them out in the middle of the square. They've got like the shield, you know, next to each other. They're covered in flowers as people come and pay their respects. I genuinely, and I'm an emotional person anyway, when I came out and saw them, I just burst. I was like in floods of tears. And they're lying there. They're crying because they're like, oh my God, this is so emotional. But we all know they're fine. But you get so overwhelmed. It's so real sometimes. It's very intense, but very fun. So you could absolutely come and play the barkeep and
sob.
Make everyone yeah. love you. Yeah, absolutely. It's like every good D&D campaign, right?
But wait, do things from 1 year transfer to the next?
Yes. Yeah, it's persistent, so it's ongoing, right? So but you okay. could come in. Yeah, go on, please. Yeah,
can I be Grimke the barkeep?
Yeah,
murdered season one.
Yep.
But season two, weird missives are found throughout camp, strange, you know, callings of a dark one, right? And nothing happens, though. Everyone's like, that's so weird. Like, nothing happened. But season three, though, people start showing up in robes at camp, and like they're walking around and they're giving people like, mm-hmm. join us at this hour. And then Grimke returns as the Lich King.
I don't think you can return as the Lich King. Like, this is like a very organized thing, right? So I think once you're dead.
Fine.
But what you could do, you could play somebody pretending to be Grimke who has returned to life, and you could absolutely play it up as like a thing. Now, because this is like a very established world, there are actual, you know, there are laws and crimes, and that might be considered a heresy to pretend to be the dead and stuff like that. But that's a fun game. That's the kind of thing of, because it's so big, there's so many people. Like, I often tell people that come along, you've got to make your own fun. And that's exactly the kind of thing of, like, you create this false rumor and a cult around your character, and then you come back as a pretender pretending to be them. You could totally do all of that, and you would make some fun game for everybody to, like, go in and check out and have a blast with, basically. It'd be a good time.
Dudes, we should make a brother and sister. Hold on, a brother and sister.
Yes.
Except we are like thieves who steal from people, right?
Okay.
But what they don't know
yeah.
is that we're actually not brother and sister.
Uh-huh.
We're just like caught up in some Ocean's 11 scheme where we have to work together and call ourselves brother and sister.
We've been calling each other brother and sister for so long.
Right.
Yeah.
But
set in.
Right. And everyone's going to be like, whoa, they were brother and sister? It's going to be very good.
Listen, you can absolutely be doing that. I love it. And you should definitely come along. It's a good fight. It's a good time.
What I was going to ask you, Mark, is if you've gone to the one. I want to go to this so bad because it seems like such a chill, like, first thing to do.
Yeah.
Have you been to the LARP in the UK that's literally just an evening with hobbits and everybody shows up dressed up as a hobbit?
I haven't been to it, but I know the guys who run it. They're all like good friends of mine. The Hobbiton LARP Second Breakfast, I think it's called.
Yeah, I want to go to that so bad.
That looks like a ton of fun. And I've heard so many fun stories from it. I'm hoping I'm going to be able to go next year. But I know that they had a giant goose that was, they had a dire goose that was like, because it's a no combat thing, right? So it's like you are playing hobbits and the driving force of the game is the mayor of the town is coming. You're putting on a party, but all the hobbit families want to show off and show how they're the best or like make an impression on the mayor. So they're all playing pranks on each other. And then things like the dire goose comes along and it wrecks the picnic area. And people are like chasing the goose off with like LARP rolling pins and LARP pots and pans. Like, get off here, goose. You go, you blasted goose, get out of here. And they're like chasing them around. I want to do it so badly.
I think it would be so fun.
Yeah. Yes. I really want to go too. Yeah, no, Second Breakfast is a ton of fun. And those guys that run that are a lovely bunch of guys as well. Lovely, lovely group of people that go along to that. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we need to get you along, Jesse. Absolutely. We need to bring you along because I think you would have a blast with it.
Jesse just winds up in England like a couple times a year anyway. So.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll send you the dates and then we can make it happen.
It's very weird for me. LARPing, I've done it exactly one time for a show, so it was barely real, but like enjoyed every minute of it. But for some reason, Ren Fairs, I'm like,
not your thing. Like,
I don't know.
I think I would be the same because like whenever I've seen like the videos of the Ren Fairs and it's just everything. It's just a mishmash of like there's pirates, there's samurais, there's like elves, there's fairies, there's like everything going on. And I'm just like, nah, I need something more than that. Like, I kind of want more than this. You know what I mean? It looks fun.
I like a good Ren Fair watch, though. I will say, I like going to a Ren Fair to just people watch. That's good. People watching.
Yeah.
It's good. I can see that. You get yourself a bucket of weird mushrooms or a big leg of some type of meat.
Yeah.
And just watch.
Watch some old men wrestle in the mud.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good old Mud Brothers. Love those guys. They're great.
Yeah. I just realized, actually, should I show Jesse my character? You've seen my character, right, Dodger? Like,
I have.
Should I upload a picture so Jesse can
see? I would love to see your character.
Just because well, in my mind,
I'm thinking like Lurch.
Okay. Well, or, it's a little different. It's a little different to that. I'll
upload you're not doing a Adam's Family kind of thing?
Oh, no, I am. You'll see.
Gomez?
I'll put it in the Discord.
Oh my, amazing, stop.
Isn't it amazing? It's so good.
So this is my character, Lady Morrigan. Yeah.
Here's the real truth about this. This character is basically every character Dodger's husband has ever played ever in D&D.
That's true.
I must stress this.
I think Sam and I have very similar mindsets when it comes to
I must stress this. Every person who, if you're wondering like, wow, what's Mark's outfit look like? What's the costume? Again, Sam Strippin, literally in any single D&D thing ever, is what you should imagine.
I you know, there's a reason that
white hair.
Yeah.
Like the whole look.
Large chest. Yeah.
Strong mommy vibes. Yeah. Yeah.
She is known as goth, like that character is known as goth mommy in the game. Like people will generally know that. And it's very fun to lean into. Yeah, Sam and I think have very similar minds when it comes to like you know, certain things. This is my alter ego. It's a ton of fun.
I love
it. I just want to dress up like a ghoul. really want to
be like a gross
I want to you know how there's probably like a campground area. I want to set up a wood shack in the woods somewhere and be like, welcome. What potions and yes, come in, and I'll sell weird shit in the shack to people and they'll all come to me in the middle of the night and I'll be like, yes, something for your love. Yes, come in.
I do feel like, because I was looking into one of the ones that you sent me information about a while back, Mark. I was looking into like, because there's a whole class system and everything, like in terms of like what do you want your job to be?
Yeah, the archetype kind of thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, I think out of everything, this is what would overwhelm me the most. It's like, you know, understanding if you decided that you wanted to be like a certain archetype of character and like and like follow the rules that way, like
It's so much like it's definitely like whenever I've brought new friends into it, like the first time they go, it's very overwhelming because like this game's been going on like easily over 10 years and there's so much lore to the world and like there's a religion and there's all these like names and nations. But the nice thing with it being a bit of a game, like I always tell people, it's like you can just play a character who's like, I've lived in the forest all my life and I don't understand what any of this means. Please, could you tell me, wise one? And you ask a player, be like, what is it like to be a blur? And they'll just be like, great, because now their character gets to tell you all about their cool thing that they do. And please, they love that shit. Yeah, it's like basically it's the, hi, I'm new. Please yap at me about your character. And they're like, yeah. And they love it. They love doing
it. I will.
Yeah. So but it can be very overwhelming because there's a ton of stuff going on. And, you know, but I always just say as well, like, you don't have to do the fighting. You don't have, like, you can just come and vibes. If you just want to come and, like, vibes and walk around. I know people that are bards. They go around and they just do music and they make coin. People that run bars. People that just want to, you know, run around and just, like, meet people. But you can also do all this crazy stuff as well if you want to.
I'm just so happy you're here. I have so many questions and I'm just glad I can direct it at someone. Okay. Yeah. Hold on. You said there's a religion.
Yeah.
Is there a church? Is there some, can you like, is there like group pretending to be the church of this religious world?
So the idea is because it's an empire, right? We're all of the same empire. So the religion is like a universal across everybody. And people set up, like they might have a shrine in their camp for their tent, but there's not a centralized one because the idea is that we all follow the same thing, basically.
Now, if I rolled in investments and I was, and I had like a, like a, you know, in that scene in Kingdom of Heaven where, like, the dudes in the distance, you see, like, the sparkling jewels. Oh. Yeah, that's what I want for me when I show up. Now, question, could I do that and be like, I am the grand pope of your religion. I demand tithes from all. Like, could I have, like, goons walk around and be like, you owe the church money. You know?
You can absolutely do that. Whether anybody, nobody will, because officially that won't be true, because there's like an actual role in the game for that. But you could certainly go around and claim it and send people like, oh, we have the high priest of the blur here and blah, blah. Very quickly, people will be like, no. But you could do
on,
it.
Hold on. Could I show up? And be like, I am the arbiter of a new religion. Yours is the false one. I bring it from the east. Yeah. Our lands have, like, oh, could I set up a whole, like, there is an empire far to the east. We have been watching your lands. I am, and I'll be just, like, the messenger. And then you guys can kick me in a hole in the end. Look, all I want is to be a bad guy and to get kicked in the hole.
I was going to say, I love that you just refuse to just be a dude. You're like, I want to be a dude. I have to be, be the guy.
Yeah, I want to be the guy
that's that a lie. Everyone kicks into a hole.
That's not true. I'm fine being in a forest in a little tiny hut all 3 days.
Potion
and
seller.
Just having like, come. And when you come into my little forest thing, I like open a cooler. I'm like, yes, Red Bull I have. Yes. What you do? Right?
Like, hands, you know, into like little glass vials, like little shots of Red Bull. You can totally do.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, people Doctor, would love
you,
that.
Would you go be in a creep? We could be old witches together.
Yeah.
Get Sam and the three of us can be old three witches and we share one eye.
Yeah.
Like absolutely. In a Hercules.
Yeah.
We're like, come.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could totally do that. With the religion thing, you could do that. But the game that I play in Empire, like it's very like it's not a good guy religion. And so like if you come in and be like, I am a priest of another god, you will probably get executed for heresy by the end of that weekend. They'd be
That'd be amazing.
That'd be amazing. That'd be amazing. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the fun thing of like these kind of, you know, player-driven narratives, but also having a world with very established rules, because you'll get, but what you might get is you might get a bunch of players come up to you and be like, yeah, we actually hate the way, and we love the sound of what you're selling. We want to be cultists of like whatever, or we want to be like followers of your religion, but we need to be quiet about it. But then you might get like the religious, like, heretic, burn them, like chasing you around the field. But obviously, because it's still a game, like they want you to still have a fun weekend. So like you get to have like a bit of time to play around with it and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a ton of fun. You can definitely do stuff like that. But the hags thing, 100%. Like the witches, like in the wood, like you can absolutely set up like a little tent with like a little and be like, come in. Oh, yes, we shall tell your fortunes. Red Bull. And you can totally do all that stuff. Absolutely.
Like if I was filthy rich, I would spend money doing stuff like this. Well, I would get fog machines, put them in those woods. I would get like when I was like, put it in the trees. I'd pay actors to roam the woods like ghouls and crazy. And then, yeah, and then I'd be like, you've come.
I think like you can also, so the other thing you could do is like you could join the NPC crew and you actually join the staff and be like the NPCs running around doing the NPC role.
That would be fun to learn how the game works.
Yeah, absolutely. But then also it sounds like, Jesse, you want to run your own lob. You should just do that. Just get a bunch of people, invite them out into the woods and be a weird witch for them.
I mean, if I had to run my own, I would do like a control or a SCP one where we're all investigators. Like we got to hunt down this monster because it escaped
that.
From
would
the
be
SCP.
So cool.
That would be very cool. You go find like an old like industrial complex or like an old abandoned office building and you set it all up in there. That would be pretty rad.
That would be
like
really
a weird back room
fun.
Situation. Yeah, I would love. I would love that. And it's like we have to find this thing before it. And then you could have, you know, NPC people on your team who just like die and vanish.
Yeah, that reminds me. I remember Matt Mercer telling me a story. For one of his birthdays, he hired out like a big mansion in LA. And then him and a bunch of friends for his other, this is for his own birthday. He ran a Call of Cthulhu lob where he jury-rigged the house with like, you know, ghosts and projectors and sound machines and all that.
Awesome.
Around.
Oh my God.
And he basically, all of his friends, he sent them like a character, like you are going to play this character, come in this attire. They all turned up. And then he was like the master of the house. He very quickly got murdered. They had to like investigate it. And then he was doing all this weird Cthulhu LARP stuff all around it at the same time. And like that is just like the pinnacle of like being like a nerdy, like house party friend, you know, just being able to do stuff like that sounds so cool. Yeah.
Again, if I had a ludicrous sum of money, I would spend it in the goofiest ways, doing the coolest stuff.
Right? Absolutely.
I'd be like, yeah, that's, you know what? Let's get a mansion. Set up. I'm going to hire a special effects team. We're going to come in. We're going to just rig this thing out.
Go to town.
And I want all of you to be scared.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I'd love it. I'd go. I'd pay. I'd be there.
100%.
Amazing. I love how like I've come on and like I'm so used to being like the D&D guy talking all about my D&D stuff, and you guys are like, tell us about this LARP stuff.
Let's talk about LARP.
I love that. I love that immensely.
I'm a big fan. I'm super interested.
Yeah, no, it's been like a really, I've been doing it for about 10 years now, and it's been amazing. And like this character that I'm playing now, Lady Morrigan, I've been playing her for 3 years, and I've got like my own group. There's like 12, 13 of us that are just in my group, and then we're all part of the bigger nation. And it's just the memories out of it and the stories that come out of it are just nuts. Like, and it's really unlike anything else, any other kind of experience LARPing. Like, I love my role playing, I love theater, but it kind of merges all of those things together and you get this just wonderful, weird stories that come out of it. And one thing that's come up since I last spoke to you about it, Dodge, as well, the guys from Hat Films, like Trot and Smith and all those guys, they've actually financed their own LARP that they're starting next year. So it's a brand new fantasy LARP in the UK called Men Is Fate, and they've financed it. They've hired like a team to run it all for them, and they've dabbled
that's
into
crazy.
It. Yeah, because they're really into it. So that's going to be like a from the ground level. And I think with that one, that's one where you could totally come and be like, I am a priest of a new religion. I'm going to start a brand new religion because it's like so fresh and new in the world. Yeah, so you can totally do stuff like that as well. I think I'm going to be doing like NPC crewing for that one. So I'll be playing a lot of the like merchants, or maybe like they go to the fairy realm and they need someone to play the fairy queen, and I'll play them and you know, do something else, or maybe like I'll be an awful magician vizier who comes along to be a villain in something. So I'm looking forward to doing that, because it'll playing the same character all the time, I'm not used to it. I'm used to DMing, so I'm used to jumping around.
Right.
So I want to, you know, I'll probably be bringing those skills.
Oh, that'll be so fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's next year. So that's going to be a fresh, brand new, whole new
time
thing.
Time to hit up the Hat Films, yeah, boys.
Yeah, yeah. I can put you in touch. Yeah, if you want to come along.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. We can sort something. Yeah.
What, part of me wants to roll so deep up to that thing with like the new empire and have like giant flags and a huge, like, just take over a massive area and then like just be. I know you shouldn't, but like just be the meanest assholes there and like it's push people like, out of the way and like have my soldiers walk down the street and just like knock dudes over and just be like, look, I just want to be a villain. I just want to get my comeuppance. And then it's like, see you next year for something even more wacky.
Dude, if you can pull it off, because I think that that's one thing where, like, because it's real people, a lot of people are afraid to be villains because they don't want to, like, they're like, oh, I don't want to be mean to people. And so if you feel, if you're somebody who can do that comfortably, I think it adds so much to the game. Like, I think it really adds a lot. Like, one of my future characters that I want to play at Empire is like a full-on like Warhammer style inquisitor who is just like, you're a heretic, and like just accuse people and like try and get them done in for like, you know they say the wrong thing once and I'm like, heretic, burn, like kill them, like, you know, I really want to lean into it and also be a villain, go up to people and be like, hey, out of character, if you want me to come after you and be a villain for you, like I'm all in, like let's chat about it, kind of thing. Because I think that kind of good collaboration is always very good to do as well.
Yeah. It's why I like doing more DM-y stuff more than being one character. Because the character is like, well, I probably have to be a good guy. And all I want to do is get offed at the end of the seat. I just want to be like, oh no, you beat me. Like, I want that. Because it's always fun. Because I like watching other people get that win and be like, yeah.
Yeah.
I did it. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty
It's a good feeling.
Cool.
It's a great feeling. Absolutely. I love being like, whenever I DMing, villains are my favorite thing to do. Like, I love playing a good villain, like a devil that's made a bargain and then the players find a sneaky way out of it and you're like, no, you've escaped my clutches. That it's the best feeling, like that kind of stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I'm bad at playing mean anything.
A lot of people are like, so many people, it's a real struggle, right? Like, it's really hard to do because you just feel bad. It's like, oh, they're sad now.
Yeah, I think I also struggle with, like, if I am putting together a character, say I'm a player, and I'm like, I really want there to be like a dickish element to this character, right? I struggle with seeing the line of, because you don't want to impact the fun that everybody else is having, right? Yeah. So like, how do I be an asshole but not ruin the vibes? Does that make sense?
Big time. Yeah. And that's the hardest thing. And I think that's why like those like session zeros and communications need to be established so early on. Like, hey, my character is actually going to be, I don't know, like you pick a thing of like, he's going to be really rude, like just like socially really rude to people because he's super defensive, but there's a good reason. And like, if people speak to him, I can start to die. You can have those kind of conversations of like, yeah, if people are nice to him, I can be nice to them back, but he might come across as a bit of a dick. Well, I did it once. We did like a sponsored game where I got to be a player for a few episodes and I played a lawful evil necromancer character. Very much like my LARP character, very based on. But I wanted to show that you could play an evil character in a good party and still get on with everybody and still not be disruptive to the overall like game and everything else, and use it as a bit of an example. And for that, I was just like, well, she has rules. Like, she follows like generally good rules of like, she's not going to kill innocent people for no reason. She's not going to do this. She's not going to betray people that she, you know, works with and trusts because she wants to, you know, develop those relationships and rely on these people. So I kind of came up with these rules. But then when it was like the bad guys, I would be like, oh yeah, I'm going to like animate their bodies and rip their skeletons out of their bodies and things like that and be horrible, but to the only the bad guys, so that you're still showing that kind of evil side. And that seemed to work really well. But yeah, it's very tricky to find that line and that balance of like, this is the character. This is, you know, I don't want to make this uncomfortable. I don't want to ruin the vibes. I don't want to, you know, step on anybody's toes, that kind of thing. It's really tricky. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been in a couple of groups before where there's been like a character argument.
Mm.
And then afterwards, it's been really beneficial to have the, hey, are we all good conversation, yeah. You know, because that's everybody so important. Was like, well, we're going to have this conversation or this argument in character. Mm. And it's, you know, it's like aftercare, right? Like afterwards, we all need
absolutely.
To be like, we're good. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
You know,
how did you feel about that? Was there, you know, was there any points where I stepped over the line? Is there anything I could do better next time? You know, all of that kind of check-in stuff is all so important and so good as well. So healthy for like the game. I think you have better games if you do that kind of stuff, you know, moving forward and things, just because like everybody's then on the same page and everybody feels happy and comfortable. So yeah.
I think that's honestly why I try to do a goofy voice for every character I play, because I feel like if you're doing goofy voice and yelling at someone, when it's over, they aren't associating it with you, the person. Because I'll get like Dodger and I playing D&D have yelled at each, like we've had actual, but it's like it's the characters, it's not us.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always feel like, all right, I got to set up a thing where people know it's 100% not me, because I will go in on you as a character.
Yeah. And it's so funny because like relating it back to the LARP stuff, I found that when the very first time I started LARPing, I just did like a dude character. He was very much like just based like me. And it's so easy to like lose that line, right? But with playing my new character with Morrigan, because she's so physically different, like there is a physical transformation and I change my voice and I change my body language. Nobody ever associates that with me. So everybody knows that that is the character and that's the role playing, right? Because there's such a big distinction between the two of us. And like, I know people that have said that like if they wear masks or if they, you know, have like costume that covers their face, things that like help break that line. And I think you're right, just like that voice also does that, right? Like if you have the voice and it's so drastically different, it's a very clear indicator of I am saying this in character, not as myself. And this isn't a real argument. This is our characters mucking about with it. Yeah, it's a very, it's I think that's super helpful.
We haven't done it in a couple of years now, I guess, but I was in a VR LARP for a while.
Okay.
Which was absolutely that same sort of a vibe of like, I literally am a, like a digital, completely different person while I'm here, you know?
Yeah.
Like I at times would completely forget like who was playing the character that I was talking to, because it's, you know, like a weird VR chat cat girl. And I'm like, I don't remember who this is, you know, like, but currently you're a cat, right?
Yeah. I love that.
It does absolutely help.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love that. That's it's isn't that the dream, just to be able to be like, zoop, and now I'm this thing. You know? Yeah. It's the big mood. Cool. Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Have to get you along to some stuff at some point.
Yes. I'm going to come and at the very least eat a bunch of food and
Yeah. Or that's man, like that's the other thing is like people have started doing now where they're like cook real food and they sell it for the in-game money as well. So like you make the in-game money, you buy real world food with it and stuff like that. And people do some good food. There's like people that bring like pizza ovens and they like decorate the pizza oven so it looks like in character, and they're cooking up fresh czar. And you're just like, this is amazing.
I love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I need to do this. What if I roll up in like a big old camper thing, but it's I'm a lich, but I make sandwiches. They call them lich witches.
Yeah.
And I sell lich witches to everyone, but I'm like really mean about it. I'm like, bring it over here, meat sack.
I'm like, I thought you were gonna call them sand liches.
I also thought sandwiches.
Oh, sandwiches are so good. This is why I had to do everything by committee. You're right. We gotta workshop it. Yeah, sandwich is better.
A single lich. A lich needs his attendance, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Sandwich, yeah. And yeah, you get yourself, and he has all sorts of sandwiches. And And then you up to it and you order. But then, you know, all the people making the food have like robes.
They're all like undead, like with skeleton masks. Yeah. And they're like, yes, master, salami and lettuce on rye. And then they slide it down.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And if but they're not put together very well. They're like a little lopsided.
Slop. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the joy of it, is it's made by the undead. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I'm a big fan. Yeah. The sandwich tent, and you just go and get your sandwiches. But if the lich doesn't like you, no sandwich for you. And you're
Yeah.
Do they pay with money, or do they pay with, I don't know, their soul?
Soul.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Do you slorp souls for sandwiches?
I will always provide sandwiches. Everyone gets a sandwich no matter what. But if you don't have money, you have to work at my store and wear a zombie mask for the rest of the day. So you can eat all you want, but you got to work for me. You become part of my undead legion.
I love that. That's a big, big mood. I love that. Yeah, it's when I do stuff, it's like very, I love it because it's quite political. So it's a lot of like favor exchanging of like people be like, oh, we really need this thing. I'll be like, well, we can help get that for you, but can you pay for it? Well, I don't have the money. Well, that's all right. We'll sort out something at a later date. And you do like lots
of course.
There's a lot of this kind of going
sinister,
on.
Like you'll
yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, that's it. It's like the character I play, she's very nice. Like outwardly, everyone just thinks she's this lovely, caring, very motherly character. But there is this kind of like political savvy leader kind of like mindset going on as well, of like lots of promises, but never promising anything too specific. Lots of like, yes, of course, we'd love to help you with that. And like, blah, blah, blah. Of course, you would extend us the favor in return, and lots of sort of deal making.
Right.
And there's a lot of that stuff going on.
This is thinking about what you just said. Mm-hmm. The idea of if you make a character that is outwardly very nice and kind and welcoming,
mm-hmm.
but you know is secretly up to no good. How do you handle that as a reveal in a LARP situation? Because in like a D&D thing, there's mm-hmm. you know, it's a team that's going down a path, and you can reveal stuff over time.
Mm-hmm.
The when it comes to a LARP, there's so many people, and if you have your little crew, but your crew knows you're up to no good. But the whole point is no one else should know that. Then how do you reveal the fun, cool parts of your character when really in the real version of this, you would never reveal it to anyone, because that's the whole point of doing
it. Well, I think that's you have to have that mentality of like you're playing this. Like, yeah, obviously, logically, you would never do things to give things away, but you find reasons for your character to like slip up or make mistakes. And I think I've got a good, because I've got an actual example. My character at the moment that I'm playing, she has this weird thing going on with her that nobody else knows about. I did some spooky deal with a spooky power that I definitely shouldn't have been speaking to. As part of that, I have like a lingering effect on my character, which is slowly making her more cruel and selfish and a bit more evil. And so I've been like, every now and then, like I go to battle and it's like a different side of her takes over, and I'm like screeching about like things and, you know, butchering the enemies and like letting it leak through. And then people be like, that was kind of weird. And then you get back to camp and you kind of hand wave it. Oh, that was just because of this, or because of this spell I was using, or blah, blah, blah. And then it's like the next time when everyone's having a big gathering and, you know, you coming in with the wild eyes and it's very much the body language, or you say something a little off and people are like, that was a bit out of character. That was a bit weird for her, wasn't it? And then people build and build on it. And then also all the other players are like built, but they know that you're slowly building up to something. So they'll start going around and they're like, I'm a bit worried about Lady Morrigan. Shouldn't we look into this? And they're like, yeah. And then out of character, they'll come up and be like, we don't want to step on your toes. Do you want us to like look into this? I'm like, you can look into it if you like. You can ask some questions around town and maybe somebody knows something. And then you kind of seed the little things around. But it is quite hard to do. I think like you have to think of it, you're only revealing it to the sphere of people that know who you are, right? If you're a very well-known character, then more and more people will pick up and like start asking questions. If you're maybe not as well-known character, then maybe it's just to your group or like your friends that are in the game, stuff like that, really. So it's, I think for me, it's like that slow seeding, like here and there, dropping in the big hints of behavioral changes mainly, or like, you know, or you make a mistake, like you do things like you leave documents, right? Like I hire this assassin to go and kill blah, 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 contract signed by blah. And obviously you would never leave something like that out, but maybe, oh, you leave it out on the tent, on the desk for somebody to come in and be like, what's this? I should look at that. Or like, oh, maybe I'll keep that as something else, you know? And so I think like you have to kind of play into that a little bit, like play to make the story the best it can be rather than to play to the win, basically.
I guess also just like remembering that you aren't the main character.
Yeah.
Like everybody is their own main character, yeah. Right? So like whatever is going on with you will affect the group around you, but it doesn't necessarily need a big reveal.
No, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Like sharing that spotlight as well, like that, exactly. Like nobody, no one person is the main character. So it's also like if you think that somebody else is doing a thing, you get involved and be like, hey, how can I help you do this thing? Or how can I support you do this thing? Do you need me to do this? Do you need me to do that? But yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I really want a hut in the woods and I want to be like, come on in. I got potions for you.
That's like the best stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can absolutely do that. I'll help make that a reality.
The worst part is imagining the fact that like, yeah, it'd be fun for maybe a couple hours, but then if people start doing things and they don't come to the woods, I just like get a generator and set up a laptop. He's still in costume, just like hold on. Come on in.
Yes, hello.
Oh, hello. Ignore the laptop. Yeah.
Well, you can do the thing like I know with like ours, like you can have your little tent on your little cabin, and then like maybe you like get the traveling version, right? You get like a satchel and you go around and you start like creeping in on other people's business. Oh, does anyone in here need a love potion? Like you start, people love that kind of stuff. They love interacting with that because also they'll think you're an NPC. They'll totally think that you're like some special NPC who's got a quest, and they'll be like, "Yes, come in. Yes, we'd love like well, tell us about this," and you can just make up anything you want at that point, and then people be like, oh yeah, good, yeah, yeah, they love that, they love it. Yeah, it's not a laptop, it's a scrying mirror, or like you can have like sometimes I get like my phone out to check the time and I'll be like, oh, let me just check my meteor slate, my magic slate of runes. Oh yeah, it's 4 o'clock, you know. You can just do stuff like that. It's the thing is like there are some people that take it really desperately seriously and they just are like, no, I'm in character, I'm not gonna make any anachronisms. And then you get the people who will like totally make like stupid jokes and like anachronisms and like, you know, drop out a character to have a chat about stuff as well. Like it depends on what you want to do, really. So
I was honestly, again, when I was doing the VR thing, I was really relieved when like it became apparent to me that you could just be like, our P card down, and just say something. Hey. Yeah. Because I kept being like, I have a thing to tell you and I don't know how to tell it to you in the context of the world we're in. Right. Mm-hmm. And I finally was playing with somebody who was like a very seasoned character in it. And she was like, RP card down. This thing just showed up. I don't know. Yeah. Like, oh, okay, great.
Great. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. And then back in character. Yeah, you can totally do stuff like that. It's very useful for stuff like that as well. Like, so, like there have been times like when we've had like, there was a couple, I think last year where it was like nearly 40 degrees. And I'm in the silicon chest thing. I got the wig, and I just would literally like somebody was talking to me and I had to be like, sorry, out of character, I need to go lie down and just drink water and not be in the sun. Goodbye. And I just had to like, and I was just like, I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'll come back to this like in like a couple of hours. Just let me go sit in the shade for a bit. And you just go and do that. Cause like, you know, it's human first, right? It's like game second, human first. So you can totally do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of fun stuff. And like I said, there's different things. Like I did this one in Helsinki, this like sci-fi one. I did a Call of Cthulhu-esque one recently. It was like a kind of 1920s Call of Cthulhu where I basically played Sean Connery from Indiana Jones. I played as Henry Jones, Henry Mason, in fact. And I was going around as I grayed my beard and grayed my hair. And I was like, oh, yes, I'm an old researcher. Very nice to meet you. And I was doing a lot of this. Turned out I was actually a secret communist the whole time. And I betrayed everybody. And that was great fun.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was good fun. Like they had like this beautiful kind of like expedition researchers tent. And any artifacts and like research and clues we found were being assembled there. And I was doddering old Sean Connery. I just like go around. I put my paper over documents, pick up my paper with the documents, put them in my bag, walk away, people would then be like, where are the, where we've lost them. And I'd be like, oh, where could they be? It's very much a lot of that. It's great fun. Very good fun. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of different
That's
stuff.
That's what I want to do. What you just described is the chaos I would like to cause at any given moment in the anything I'm a part of.
Yeah. So much fun.
It doesn't even need to be bad guy, just someone. Oh, is it getting weird in here? Are things going missing?
Just turn up the dial just a little bit. Yeah.
Just a little bit of chaos energy. Yeah, a bit of gremlin energy. Absolutely. Yeah. I love that.
I actually think it'd be really funny to have a group of people show up at a LARP as gremlins and just like steal things or break things or like just do random mischief. It'd be insane. People would hate them. It'd be great.
People would hate them. It'd be great.
I became friends with somebody who runs a group of reenactors.
Okay.
And he was describing it to me, and because I know more LARPers than I do reenactors, I was like, oh, this sounds a lot like LARP. And he did not like that.
No.
It turns out they don't like that.
No, the reenactor. I think the reenactors, from the few I know, they're very much just like, it's not LARP. No, it's not like that.
It's nothing like LARP.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. So.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've got an idea of what kind of character Jesse would play if he came along to like a LARP. What about you, Dodger, though? Like, what's your kind of go-to? What would you think like would be something you'd be interested in doing?
The character that I would, because I was trying to be realistic about it. Like, I'm probably going to feel a little gun shy about involving myself. Like, I want to, you know, have a character that's like, that can just kind of chill if I feel like I want to observe more than like. So I started looking into, I don't remember which one it was that you sent me, but I started looking into like, how do you become like an alchemist?
Yeah.
And so I was like trying to develop like this really like weird little earthy, like Snufkin-esque character that just like kind of walked around and like made weird shit. And you know,
it's a good way to do it. I feel like your first time going into anything like that, having a character that can be a little bit on the sidelines and just observe, and then you can see what takes your interest and like jump into that with more aplomb, you know, in the future, can be like, oh, okay, I really like that. I want to do more of that, you know? Yeah, for sure.
And I like the idea of being the character you showed up as and then being like, I'm going to be an enemy today. I'm going to go be a bad guy and be part of the war TM, you know?
So there's one of my favorite stories I love to tell about LARP is playing the bad guys, getting to play the bad guys in the battle. And we had a big group of us. I think there was like 12 of us in our group. We all went together. We were all playing orcs. So we had these like orc masks on, and some people had gone in armor. Some people were being like archers, and I didn't really feel like doing like fighting that day. So I just went in as like a mage. So I had like a mage robe and a staff, and I was going to be the healer for my little group of orcs. And we decided we were all going to call each other. We were going to be the Borts. And we were all like something Bort. So it was like tall Bort, small Bort, fancy Bort. I was old Bort. And everybody's doing like the Shadow of Mordor voices. Everyone's doing silly voices for their orc. And I was playing old Bort, and I just made him sound like this is old Bort. And we go out into the battle, and these battles are very chaotic. And immediately I lose all of my guys. Like all my Borts are missing. So I'm wandering around going like, where are my Borts? I can't find my Borts. Where are they? And like all of the other orcs are like, shut up, old man. We don't know where they are. They like being like, heal me. And I'd be like, oh, but are you a Bort? I can't heal you if you're not a Bort. And then I would be like, okay, well, you're ugly Bort. And then I would heal them, and then they would become a Bort. And then as the battle happened, something happened where the all of us got pushed back into like the woods and the forest, but I sort of just slipped off to the side. And so I'm like on the edge, and all the player characters, all the heroes like push past. And one of the player heroes comes up to me and he's like, are you with the Imperial Orcs, which are the good orc faction in our group? And I was like, I'm an orc. And he was like, yeah. Okay, well, all they're over that way. Are you a healer? And I was like, I'm a healer. And they were like, okay, all of our healers are over there. Go over there and help them. And they just thought I was a good player. So I'm like, oh, are my Borts there? And they're like, well, yeah, maybe go over there. And like, I was like, okay. So I walk over And I go over to like a group of like player heroes who are like healing like the wounded. And I'm like, are you healers? And they were like, yeah, are you hurt? And I was like, you're Imperials? And they were like, yes. I was like, okay. And I pull a knife out and I start shanking all of the healers. I like down a bunch of them. And then I just wander off. I literally just like amble around, put my knife away, amble off. I end up behind another group of players. And the whole time, all the players were just like, they just thought I was a good guy the whole time. They were just like, go find your guys. At the very end of the battle, as all the players are leaving the battlefield, the Imperial Orcs come over and some player is like, yeah, this guy's been really weird. He's just following us around. He's talking about the Borts. Like, do you know him? And they're like, we don't know him. He's not one of us. And I was like, oh, and then I just run. I just like run across the battlefield being chased by all these guys. And all of my guys are like, come on, old Borg, come on. And I'm like, oh, like chasing. And they thought I was a good guy the whole time. And I was just like wandering around like, oh, where are my Borts?
My Borts. Yeah, I abandoned very my Borts.
So much fun. So much fun to just do weird stuff like that. Like we got to play cultists of like some like sea wrath goddess. And like we would just like in the middle of battle, we would just get on our knees and start like praying and chanting at the sky and like calling like art, like begging for rain, like please goddess, bless us with your rains. Like in the middle of the battlefield, just give up fighting, sacrifice ourselves to like these shark monsters that were there. We'd be like, eat me, take me to the goddess. Ah! Like let them like destroy us basically. It's good fun.
I love
good.
That.
Good bit of laugh. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Goodness. Yeah. Get you along to it next year.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm we'll
in. Make it happen.
I've yep. already committed to doing a marathon next year.
Great.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
A running marathon. Okay. And I might as well also LARP.
Yeah.
Why next not? Year's going to be crazy for old dudes. I'm going to pop off big time.
You got a bunch of people, you know, some folks I can introduce you. I can give you some hints and stuff like that. So, and then if Jesse happens to be in England at the same time, well, just have to come
get
along
Jesse
and give it a go.
In here.
I will. Don't test me. I'll do it. I will roll up.
Don't test me.
I will roll up and I will set up a woods based cabin.
Yeah.
And I will just hand out flyers and tell like, come great potions of power I have for you. And then show up in the woods. And it would just be like energy drinks.
Yeah.
I love imagining that it's just like one of those like blow up houses.
Yes. Yes, it's a bouncy castle.
And then you just kind of like throw some moss and twigs on top and you're like, it's my cabin.
come bounce with me. Yes, come.
Like awful Yoda with Red Bull in the woods. I love that. I love it. Big mood. Big mood.
That's all I want. It's just oh, I could just go full Yoda.
Yeah.
And like, carry me on your back, you will. He'll be like, no, please,
absolutely
no.
Not.
Come, good take training. Me, take me.
Good training it is. training you will be.
That's right. Like, yeah, I'll do the whole laugh. Yeah, it'll be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. I'm a big fan.
Perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we got a good plan here.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan.
Well, I didn't expect us to talk about LARP for that long, but I'm delighted about it.
I did warn you before we got onto this. I was like, you get me onto a topic that I like talking about, and I'm not going to shut up about it,
dude. And
there's so many fun stories.
I told you I love a yapper, so
good.
It's good.
We're all
good.
Aligned. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think. It's like, yeah, like normally it's like I talk about like the D&D stuff, or like we talk about like the cosplay and the dressing up and stuff like that. But yeah, I love to yap about a good LARP. That's the thing.
Have I told you before? Probably not. Mm. My degree is in like costume crafts.
Oh shit. No, I did not know that. That's awesome.
I haven't made a costume, like properly made a costume in years.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of having a reason to make one, you know?
Right. And I think that with LARP as well, it's a little bit different because you're not necessarily making costume. You have to make something that's like hard wearing, is going to like last for like a full weekend, right, that you can move around in, that you can potentially fight in and stuff like that as well.
It can't be something that's going to break constantly.
Yeah. So like, and it, but it means that you're working with like, and a lot of it's like historical inspired as well. So you're like looking up like old historical patterns, like, oh, but how can I modify that to do like a more fantasy version of it? Oh, I've got, oh, I want to make a cloak. What should I make it out of in case it rains? Or like, you know, there's a lot of that kind of stuff because it is England. So it does get wet and muddy. So there's a lot of that stuff as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it's some of the costumes people make are just absolutely stunning.
Bonkers, like, I'm sure.
Yeah. Like people I know as well, like, and it's just their hobby and they just, you know, crack these amazing movie quality costumes out. So I think you'd have a blast doing that because there's enough of a framework there to give you ideas, but then there's a lot of freedom to be like how you decorate it and how you like make it your own as well. So like you can really go to town with stuff like that.
Yeah
that's pretty cool. Yeah, so and it's also a thing like with families as well and stuff like that. Like I know a lot of people like, you know, bring their husbands and wives, but also there's a thing for kids which I think is really sweet, Empire. So like there's this thing called the Academy where people that want to come with their families, the kids get to go off and do their own little adventures where they're like collecting like things out in the woods and they're taught lessons about the history of the world. And, you know, they have to like earn like, not like merit badges, but they like get awards at the end of the weekend for like, oh, and the person who did the best on the combat quest is Timmy or like whatever his character name is. And they were, and it's all in character. It's all done like as, you know, they're treated just as another player, which is really sweet. And I know a couple of folks who, you know, they couldn't come because they were like, well, I've got kids. And then they found out about this and then they were like, oh, great. And then it also means the adults get to go off and do their own thing for a bit because it's kind of like sending the kids off to school, right? So it's just like, oh, great, you know, nice, yeah. And my friend of mine, Steve, he plays a lot of NPCs. And one of his favorite things is he does all the Academy quests. So the kids get taken off in a big group out into the woods or into like these like custom little made encounters. And like he'll play like the bestiary keeper and he's like, oh, all the skitterlings have got out, kids, we've got to go and get all the skitterlings. And so like they're all, and there's all these like little things hung up in the trees and the kids have got nets and they're trying to like fish them out and stuff like that. It's really fun. It's really sweet.
That's so cute. I love that.
Yeah, it's a good time. It's a good time.
Yeah,
I like that episode of Geekenders where they talked about LARP the whole time.
I love
you'd
that
be surprised. I'm gonna let you know there's gonna be a lot of people who are like, my favorite best episode.
Yeah. Yep. Listen, I love that.
100%. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Well, yeah. What have you been up to this week, Jesse?
Hey. Hi. Since it's the most recent thing, I played a bunch of Indiana Jones and the Golden Circle last night. It is officially out today, but I played... Oh, I'm sorry, The Great Circle. I don't know why I said golden. I played a bunch of it, and it is, without a doubt, the Indiana Jones experience. It feels like it. It looks like it. The best part about it is... I'm very curious what the general consensus will be when, you know, a few weeks from now, but... The game, it's Machine Games game, so you're thinking like Wolfenstein, you're going to run on blast dudes. It has the look, but it is not the feel. When they drop you in at the beginning, you're literally doing the intro to Raiders. So like that's the tutorial. That's how it's setting you up. And it's you're looking around, you're exploring things, you're learning to use the whip. The first stage is you go to the Vatican, and it is so like the way I describe it is there's the main story, a main quest. Like you have a whole quest list and everything. There's the main quest, and it's one that I will not spoil. And you go to the Vatican to meet a contact. And when you're there, my mind is okay, going to the Vatican. We're going to sneak in. We're going to take out some of these like Italian fascist dudes. We're going to punch them. And then we're going to run through the thing and we'll get to the end. No, false. It is. There's like a part one where you sneak into the Vatican. Then part two is I have a priest's outfit. I'm in the Vatican. Now I can look around for stuff. And so you are solving mysteries. You are finding clues and the clues lead you to go discover another mystery. You go, I am 6 hours in and I am still in the Vatican. And I have...
Love that.
I found an underground boxing ring where I had to dress up like a black shirt and sneak in. There's like riddles and clues and mysteries to solve. There's like find these hidden plaques and do this thing. And if you do this, then the whole reason to do all this instead of just plowing through is you'll find books and the books will give you skills. And some of those skills are like you punch 20% harder or you have another life bar. And in order to get those, You need to find hidden items or complete quests in order to get adventure points. Then you spend the adventure points to unlock the power of the books. Okay. And now you're a stronger, better adventurer, or you climb faster, or you see different things that you wouldn't have seen before, that kind of stuff. And so you're running around, you're like underneath the Vatican, you're up above, you're running on the rooftop. It'd be crazy to see a priest do any of that, but it's hilarious that it's you can do that and get caught up in all of the Indiana Jones-ness of it. Should I binge all of Indiana Jones, I see in chat? I will say this game takes place after the first movie.
Okay.
So there's you would have to know some of the first movie in order to appreciate some of what's going on, because there is like a little bit of Indiana Jones backstory. There's 100% a callback to stuff happening in the first movie. And so also Marcus is in it. And so you would have to know like who Marcus Brody is. But you don't really need to. But it's an Indiana Jones adventure through and through. The voice acting, awesome. It's so, so very good. And gameplay wise, you are, you can sneak, you can start just punching dudes in the face. You can also do, if you can time it, you can press V to like block their punch and then clock them. Or you can just put your hands up. You can do, or you can get weapons. And if you sneak up behind someone, you can hit them with weapons. The best part is they've coded in achievements for certain weapons. So at one point, I got a fly swatter because I thought it'd be hilarious to hit a guy with a fly swatter. I hit him and an achievement popped up and I was like, yeah. Or I hit one guy, I think it was with a guitar, and it gave me an achievement. That kind of stuff, which I think is very funny. But there's so many things to hit people with. You can pick up pretty much anything. I threw a statue at a man once. Great. Loved it. But you could do that, or you could just pull out a gun or take a gun from someone and just blast people. However, it makes noise, and so guards will come running.
Of course.
People will check you out. But also, at one point, I hot gates'd a bunch of guards, and they kept coming through the door, and I would just pop them. And eventually, they were all dead, and I was like, Indiana Jones! And I walked out. Yeah. And so there's different ways to do it. The best way I would describe the game is kind of like if Dishonored and Uncharted had a baby.
Oh, my God. Oh, that sounds so good.
it's very, very fun. If you're into Indiana Jones,
love
it's
stuff.
Very fun. There's like one of the first puzzles literally is find out where to put these things on pedestals. And sure, you could go for the clues, or if you just know the flags of nations, you can solve it instantly. It's like, oh, this one is from Syria, and there's literally a flag there. You're like, oh, okay. And you just put it down, and now you know. So it has that sort of, if you know a thing, you're probably going to have an easier time playing this game.
Interesting.
That's I love that. That sounds so good. I love indie movies very unironically. I love that kind of pulp adventure. Like Uncharted is like one of my favorite game series. I've been really looking forward to it. I've been waiting for it to come out, and it's just, that sold me 100%.
The only negative I have so far is the map, I think, is like, how dare they? It's awesome because he has a journal that he carries with him throughout this story. And whenever you use the map, you press J and he just brings it up like this in front of his face. And you can walk around with it and you can look and do stuff. But the map itself, even though it gives you little ping points on your screen so you can follow it, the map is a top down of wherever you're at. And in the Vatican, for example, there's so many crypts and things above and below things. It's not featured on the map. So it's kind of like playing the Elden Ring DLC, where the map doesn't seem all that big, but then you realize, oh my God, there's like 12 layers to this shit. Same thing. It'll be like, no, it's below you. I'm like, how do I get below me? And then when you realize that certain things don't open until the story progresses, so you can't just plow through side quests, which is what I was doing at first. And then I found a bunch of doors that literally were like locked. It's like, well, how do I open it? Usually if it's locked, it tells me what the key is that I need to find to get it open. Nah, just locked. And I was like, okay. So finally, frustrated, I started just doing the story. I was like, I'm just going to go to bed. Like, I can't figure out what I'm doing. Like, I think I've just been streaming too long. And then I was like, all right, we're just going to finish the story. I turned in the quest. And then it was like, oh, now you can go in. I was like, oh, this is what we're doing. Okay. And once I figured that out, it was fine. But yeah, that's just my one tip, is the map will drive you crazy, so don't stress it. And two, just do the main story a little bit and stuff will unlock for you.
Right.
Good time. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that it's fun.
It's a blast. It's so much fun.
Indiana Jones.
Comes out in 2 days.
Yeah.
No.
Comes out on the 9th.
Yeah. No, I'm excited about that one. That one's like been on my list, watch list for a while. Very keen.
Bro.
And also, oh, go on, sorry.
No, continue.
I was going to say, the person in chat who was asking, do you need to watch? You should watch the movie. You should watch 1 and 3. You should watch Raiders of the Lost Ark and Last Crusade. Like, Temple of Doom is okay, but watch those three. Because I feel like the 1 and 3 are like the quintessential indie experience of like, this is what this is about.
Temple of Doom was my favorite. Right? When yeah. I was younger.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But that's also the first one, technically, right? So
true.
I mean, like,
it's the prequel, right?
I will say, even though there haven't been any real major Temple of Doom things in this, there are, like, some Easter eggs for the indie mythos that if you know stuff, you're like, oh, I know what that is. But that's really it.
Yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say that I've continued to be sick all week, and the only new thing that I've played this week, are you ready? Is ARAM, League of Legends.
Hold on. Did you get got because of Arcane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Damn. And I knew it's a trap. It's a freaking trap. And I know that, but like my FYP is ruined now. And like everything that's showing up is just like cool edits, because Arcane editors just can't be normal. They have to be cinematic masterpieces. Mm-hmm. So I've just been like watching so many. And I got to this point where I was in the kitchen with Sam and I was like, should I play League? And he was like, no. And I was like, if I wanted to play League, would you play with me? And he was like, no, we will get divorced. And I was like, okay. So I went to Summer and I was like, Summer, will you play League with me? And Summer was like, oh my God, yes. Oh my God, yes. Oh my God, should we play today? Should we play right now? I'm free whenever. So we played ARAM because apparently it's like the most overwhelming version of League, but is also in some ways the simplest because it stands for all random, all mid. So there's not lanes. There's just one lane and your character is randomized. So people can't be mad at you for picking a bad character. Like it's whatever. I did terrible every single time, but it was fun. I don't know. Maybe that's bad.
It seems very low pressure compared to normal League.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just like fun, right? It's just jump in, get used to like how the spells and abilities and stuff work and get a random character. It seems,
I don't know how to use any of the characters. So no matter who it gave me, I was like, I'll just figure it out.
I'll buy that. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to. It's one of those games. League's one of those games. I had the same thing of after watching Arcane. I was like, should I play League again? Because I don't think I've touched it like in years and years and years and years. And I just don't like, none of my friends want to play it. Like none of like the High Rollers gang, nobody
smart that I normally friends. Do games. Good friends trying to keep you away from that drug.
Really? Okay. Maybe that's the way to see it.
You need a summer, Mark.
Yeah, that's it. I do need a summer. I need to be like, hey, like, you know, indulge me, help enable me, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, hey, if you want to play sometime.
Yeah. I was thinking I'm gonna shoot you a DM on Discord and be like, next time you and Summer are playing League, do you want to just like let me know? Because also I'm going to be awful, right? So I don't want to play with people that know what they're doing because I just feel bad that I'm like terrible. Whereas like,
I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. If you're new as well, I feel like I can be a new baby with you and then we can just be like, we're bad, lol.
Yes, we're bad. Exactly. It'll be great.
My favorite part about this is knowing people who really play League like crazy. And
Krendor.
Shameless plug for Cox and Krendor. But on that show, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, we were talking about Arcane and how much I enjoy it. And Krendor was like, I hate that show. I'm like, why? What's the matter? He's like, they want me to care about the worst characters in the game. I ban Echo every time because he's too overpowered. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, he's too overpowered. How could I like his story if he's so overpowered? I'm like, that's your issue? He's like, oh, so God. Funny. All, it's just Piltover. It's just attractive humans. Where's the Yordles? Where's my boy, Teemo? And I'm like, what? He's like, where's Styx? Where's the Styx? And I'm like, you just wanted a different show. And he's like, I hate when they do humans. It's just like in the game, because everyone, they just try to make sexy anime characters to sell packs with. And I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
What's the problem? I don't see the problem with this. Like,
oh, it's so, it's one of the fun, it might be the funniest rant, because it's clearly, it's what I think people hear when they hear like Star Wars fans or Marvel fans, when they like say something like, that's the hill you're going to die
issue?
On. That's,
you're
the problem.
Mad about this? Yeah.
It's really so funny. So I must stress, there's a part of the community, a great example is they changed some of the characters because of Arcane. Yeah. And watching people get really upset, I was like, I'm so glad I'm out of like that level of fandom for things, because my God, it went, from the outside, you're like, why is this affecting you the way it is?
I know,
it shouldn't.
Right? Like, this is really not a big deal, guys. Like you can like a thing. You don't have to like it to this level, right? Like,
sure.
This is scary.
That's, I think, the thing, right, is like, it's totally understandable to be like, oh, man, I'm really going to miss how that thing was.
Absolutely.
Or like, I have a lot of like, you know, fondness for that thing before, right? But to be like, I'm starting a petition to roll back the changes.
I'm never gonna play this game again unless they change Victor back, because they've made him like a twink now and I don't like it. It's just like, buddy, just calm down, like, it's fine, like, well, you'll be okay. Like,
what's
you'll
crazy
find a new character to play or whatever.
Yeah, what's crazy is I first of all, spoil the thing, but I was about to be like, if you watch the show, you have to appreciate the Victor reskin. It's like cool as hell. It's very interesting.
Super cool.
But I completely understand people being upset about something that they've been a part, you know, it's the reason why I was like upset with WoW, because like, we're changing the story again. I'm like, guys, I can't do this anymore. But I feel like, I don't know. There was barely a story to begin with, so I don't know why you're really upset about the story of a MOBA.
Yeah.
But
don't say that. No,
I know. Look, I was about to clarify.
Bro.
Yeah, but I get it.
Where he's like, Jesse, there's so many comics and there's so many lore and there's so much. Say that.
No, but that's what I was gonna say. But because Riot made lore, then it's something that they should. You know, if they're going to make a lore for a thing and people are getting invested, you know, you have to respect it a little bit. So I don't know, but it feels like Arcane was their attempt to create an actual codified universe instead of we wrote 80 short stories and figure out how they fit together.
Right.
And also, like, yeah, there's just so much more opportunity to explore those characters. You can't, there is nothing for a MOBA to do with that, right? You could publish, like, maybe, like, short stories or comics or whatever, but, like, a TV show is being able to, and also just introduce it to people that have no idea what this thing is. And I think that, like, they've engineered those characters to be much more understandable and presented in a way, like, I didn't know the League lore. I could watch Arcane and be like, I'm so invested now. I didn't know who any of these
fucking characters were except for Jinx.
Yeah, same.
When I started watching Arcane, I was like, I don't know. I have no idea what's going on. And like, you know, big reveals for League fans would happen in the show and Sam would be like clutching his pearls and I'd go, I don't know. I don't know what that means. I don't know what's happening, but I'm still in. I'm still having a great time. So whatever, they did it, you know?
Yeah, I think they struck that good balance. Like that, like, I don't know a lot, but there was a couple of things where I was like, oh, is that a reference to this thing? I remember that character, and like there was things like that. But then there was, you know, I've got friends of mine who watched it for the first time and they were still just as excited, because the way the storytelling is done is they often build those reveals into a very natural narrative high point anyway, where you'd be like, oh, is that blah, and then they tied it all together in an exciting way for non-fans and fans alike. Like,
I think they captured something that, like, there's they found this happy middle ground where you look at a lot of video game movies and TV shows and properties where for some reason the inclination of the team, the showrunner, whoever, is let's retell something that already exists because people will love that. When in reality, what they should be doing, which is kind of what, you know, Fallout did and Edgerunners did, which is it's the universe. it's that world. We're just going to tell a story in it so that if there's an Easter egg or something, people who play the game will love it. But you don't need to have known about the game to love it. We're establishing the rules of this universe through the eyes of new characters. Yeah. And for some reason, Arcane was like, we're going to use characters that exist, but we're going to do the thing that is telling a story in a universe, but it's not a story you've ever heard before, so it counts as something new. It's they like threaded a perfect needle, and it's awesome. Like they nailed it. And it's very hard to do, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Fully agree.
Sadly, we've gotta wrap up. But Jessup, do we have news? Super slam us some news?
I would love to super slam you some news. First off, the best news that I can give anyone, since I assume a lot of you on here right now are watching probably with some sort of Amazon Prime thing. Amazon Prime Gaming is just giving away a bunch of games this month, and I'm no fool. I'll tell you to get free games any day of the week. They're GOG codes, which are great, so that's like a permanent game. Wink, wink. So pick that up. But Star Wars Bounty Hunter, Tomb Raider Underworld, Overcooked 2, Call of Juarez Gunslinger, Dredge, Quake 2, Disney Pixar's WALL-E, Planet Lana, Heroes Hour, The Comma Recut, or Coma Recut, Electrician Simulator, Redrawn the Painted Tower, Nine Witches, Predator Hunting Grounds, Aces of Luftwaffe, Simulacros, Christmas Fables, The Town of Light, and then just today, we get a bunch more with Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition, Baldur's Gate 2 Enhanced Edition, Necromunda Hired Gun, Neverwinter Nights Enhanced Edition, Outer Worlds, Space Hulk Deathwing, Spelunky, Warhammer 40K Dawn of War, Warhammer 40K Space Marine, Warhammer 40K Dawn of War 2. So get those. And literally, I think if you're watching on Twitch right now, you can just straight up go to the little thing at the top of the screen and get your games. So
hell,
that's a whole thing. Free games, kids. Get them, pick them up. Make that happen in your life. Oh,
my God.
Obviously, also, Indiana Jones is coming out, so brace yourself for that. Super
Path
fun.
Path of Exile is coming out.
That's true. Yep. PoE is coming out. I think you'll see a lot of our friends playing that this weekend. And then we also got new Mighty Morphin's Power Rangers. Rita's Rewind came out. Monument Valley 3. Only on Netflix for some reason. We also have, again, there were some from last week I didn't get to, and I just, because, you know, I was stuck at home. But Fantasian Neo Dimension is out. It's the Apple game that the two OGs of Final Fantasy created way back when, and now it's finally being released off of Apple, and it looks great. All the backgrounds are, like, diorama-looking, very cool. Has a great function if you're an RPG player where, like, if you run through a dungeon, instead of having random battles the entire time, you can do the entire dungeon, save up all the battles, and then afterwards fight them one after another. Love that. Big fan of that. Enigma of Fear was a pixel art 3D style investigation game. It's literally the most dodger coded thing I've ever seen in my entire life. It looks awesome. Yeah, I think you would like it. Enigma of Fear. And I'm trying to think of what else. We got, obviously, Marvel Rivals dropped a lot of stuff this week, and most of it was people horned up for Squirrel Girl, which I get. I'm not even going to fight you on it.
She cute.
And
Sam yelled about the shark a lot. That's all I know.
Yes. And a lot of people are really impressed with the, end of, like, play of the game animations, things like that. Look very cool.
Very slick.
But the funniest thing I saw was, there's definitely a bias where people are like, wow, these prices for skins are really affordable. It's like the exact same price as Overwatch, which says a lot about your brand. If people are like, Overwatch is too expensive, it's like, okay, you've saturated that market, gang. So we will see what people think when more people start to play, but it's looking pretty good. They're putting some money into Marvel Rivals.
Yeah.
And
fun. It's a fun one.
That is the news for yous.
Fantastic. Look at us.
Yay.
Yay. I couldn't tell if you were doing this or this.
No, I was doing
this. I was waiting to see if it was one moment.
No, it's a big cheesy thumbs up.
Fantastic. Really quickly, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. If you could give chat homework, something that you think more people should take the time to read, watch, play, whatever, what would your homework be?
Oh, my God. It can be anything I want just because I want it.
Anything.
I'm not going to plug myself because that would be very selfish of me.
We had someone do that before.
No, I'm not going to do that.
That's genius.
I'm going to suggest there is one of my favorite authors has got a brand new book coming out literally today. The Brandon Sanderson Stormlight Archive stuff. It was the stuff that got me back into fantasy. So as homework, if you would like a lovely fantasy book to read, go check out The Stormlight Archive by Brandon Sanderson, or Mistborn is the other one as well. The first book of the Mistborn series. Those are like my homework. So you go read it just read a lovely book. Like, take some time, get away from the screen, take a bit of downtime, get a book, get a comfy chair, and read a book for a few hours. There you go. There's my homework this week. Fantastic. Just go read a lovely book. I love books.
Mark, why don't you tell everybody who you are, where they can find you, and what you're up to.
Thank you very much. My name is Mark Humes, also known as Sherlock Humes online. You'll find me pretty much everywhere on the internet under Sherlock Humes. Sometimes there's an underscore in the middle. Sometimes there's an underscore at the end. It's a little puzzle that you can find, you can play to figure out. I am the Dungeon Master for a D&D show called High Rollers. We stream every Sunday on Twitch and YouTube. Some people jokingly call us Critical Role because it's that kind of style of AP. Nice cameras, nice audio. We've been doing it for about 10 years now. We're currently in our third campaign. It's a really, really good time. And we're just about to start a brand new arc. It's going to be like a really fresh start in the new year. So if people want to come and check us out, I think it's going to be a really good time to jump in on that for High Rollers. And that's kind of my whole jam. Follow me on social medias. If you'd like to see me looking like a beautiful lady, you can follow me on social media. And I like to post that from time to time, talk about my LARP adventures and things like that. But that's me.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us, Mark.
Yeah, thank you
for having me. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Jesse, what have you got going on?
Boy, oh boy. Probably going to play some PoE2, trying to get a certain person who I'm looking at right now to join Krendor and I for some shenanigans, but we'll see. And I'm going to play more Indiana Jones. I've got still Metaphor Refantasio to do. Just caught up in it. A lot of games. And thankfully, word is on the street that I guess there's some sort of Twitch thing end of December where it's like, something, I don't know, with subs. So expect me to... I got no work happening then, so I'm just going to stream constantly. Just know the last, like, 2 weeks of December are going to be like, you're never getting rid of me, haters!
Fantastic.
I love it. I love that energy.
Yeah.
I'm Dodger, and I haven't been doing shit aside from dipping into League, which we all know is a mistake. So come watch my Descent into Madness. If you enjoyed Geekenders today, you can find all of the previous Geekenders on youtube.com/JesseCox. We're also on all the podcasty things. Yeah, we've done a fair number of these. How many of these have we done now?
Almost 52, because it will have been a full year since we started.
Oh my gosh, look at that. That's amazing. Yep. So yeah, if you enjoy Geekenders, go listen to it. Give us a review. All that stuff helps. Yeah.
Love
That's
that.
It for us, I believe. Have a fantastic...
This is episode 52. Look at that.
Oh, my God. Look at that.
Boom.
Have a fantastic weekend, everybody. We will see you next Friday. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geekenders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger. What up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geekenders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.